We're going to do a two-part series. I'll be back next week, Wednesday, on the book of Jude. I'm going to try my best to finish. I hate rushing through great words of God, you know what I mean? But there's a time thing and all that. So we're going to do a two-part series on the book of Jude and pray that I can get you through it because sometimes I take my time through the word of God. Before I start, I just want to say this. Most of you know that my wife and I were the state directors of All Things Possible Hawaii. What does that mean? We work with locked up youth. We work with young exploited women. And this Thursday, we did give Jesus a gift. We went to the federal detention facility down by the airport. We were invited in. We did a Christmas event. 35 incarcerated women and 7 gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. It was, praise the Lord, man. It was so awesome. And it's always a challenge, me being like, besides the guards, the only guy in there. You women think differently, see differently, and feel differently. But God is good. I'll see how he works everything out. Amen. I was thinking of this story. There's a little girl, and there's a very narrow bridge and a raging river on both sides of the bridge. And she's with her daddy. And she looks up at her daddy and he says to her, "Hold my hand because I don't want you to fall over the bridge." The little girl responds by looking up at her daddy and she says, "I want you to hold my hand." He goes, "What's the difference?" She goes, "There's a big difference, daddy. Because if you hold my hand and something happens, you will never let me go. But if I hold yours, I might let go and fall." And I want you to think about that with God as he holds us in the palm of his hands and he promises us that in this upcoming new year and for the rest of our lives here on earth, he will never let us go. Amen. And I hope you reflect on that and understand that is God. That's his character and his plans for you. So let's get into the message tonight. If you got your Bibles or your technology thing, thingamajig, turn to Luke. I'm going to be reading up into verses 12 through 13, and pray for me that we get through it. And then I'll break down the verses that I want to break down. The title of my message is "The Look of My Faith," especially in the land of our afflictions, when we're being pressed and stretched. Amen? That's when we should look at our faith. Father, we thank you so much for this word. As we always cry out, as the psalmist wrote in 119:05, that let it be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. We just enough light for the next step, Lord. So would you help us do that tonight? As we leave this place, help us to be different as when we entered it. We give you praise and glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. I was going to do something real naughty today. I was going to text Pastor Bill the temperature. I had a friend in Wisconsin goes, "Man, the high today is 7. And it was kind of early up in Mililani where we live. It was 77. I go, "Well, add another 7, brother." And that's how cold it is. He goes, "Man, you're so not right." Right, but as we get into the scripture, I want you to feel the warmth of God and the love he has for you, right? And Jude's an interesting fellow. Before I read his writings, if you don't know who Jude is, really his name was Judas. There's like 5 Judases in the New Testament. It was a common name, just like Jesus was a common name back then. But to simplify it, They write Jude, so you don't get all confused. Jude. If you don't know who he was one of the half-brothers of Jesus, except he was not like James. Jude was not a pillar of the church. He wasn't a leader. He calls himself a bondservant. And you can find this in Matthew 13:55, Mark 6. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, he finally came to believe the virgin birth. That his older brother was someone special. His older brother was God. It's pretty amazing because he didn't believe. He wrote this letter probably around AD 67 to all the churches of Asia Minor or common day Turkey, as we know today. That's where Asia Minor was. And if you look at 1 Peter and 2 Peter, it tells us that this letter was written to these believers in this area. Why? Well, at first, Jude wanted to write about the common salvation you and I share in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit anointed him, changed his pen, and said, I want you to write about ungodly doctrine that's confusing people. Just because they hear it at church, they're taking it, and it is not from the Lord. So Holy Spirit tweaked his message. It's pretty interesting how he does that. So here we go as we hear the message of Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who are called the beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Verse 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, believers. Verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master, Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though, you know all things once for all, the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. In verse 6, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept them in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immoralities, went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in the undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Verse 8, yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh, reject authority, revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Verse 10. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Verse 12, these men are those who are hidden reeves in your love feasts, when they feast without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried away by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. And verse 13, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It's very interesting when you hear this and you start thinking. You look at verse 1 and you see the heart of Jude. He doesn't say, yo, I'm the half-brother of Jesus, you know. He did mention James. But he uses his term bondservant in the English. And the Greek is doulos, or doulai. A servant by choice. But I like this part of the definition. A servant by choice who represents the master. Look at our lives. Are we representing Jesus? Right? That's a bondservant. That's hard, but it's not impossible with God. And he goes on and he calls us beloved, who he's writing the message to. Agape, you guys know that word. Unconditional, right? But it goes deeper than that. Agape means content, to be content. I love that about agape, be pleased. Are you content with your life right now? Are you pleased with where God has you and who he has you to be right now? Of course, we all want to improve, especially I see some young people in here. You got a whole lifetime to improve. Don't mess that up. It goes by real quickly. Now, it's amazing because Jude didn't believe that Jesus was the Lord. You can find that in John 7:5 and Acts 1:14. You can read that on your own. As he was growing up, he didn't believe his brother was the Lord. Now, doesn't that sound familiar with our walk and many of the people today? Remember the days before Jesus in your life. I mean, in a sincere way. Not in a religious way. In a sincere way. And then you start to understand that if there's no sincerity with relationship like any other ones we have on earth, then there's really no power in your life to make any changes at all. I've been using these words for my home fellowship. In the upcoming year, I want to be rebuilt. I want to be renewed. I want a restoration in my life. I want something fresh in 2023. You know what I mean? And without that sincere walk with Christ, you and I will never receive that. I want you to notice that Jude wanted to be known not as Jesus' brother, but a servant. He gives all glory to God. You see, this letter written to believers, given by God, was like when you and I answer a cell phone. You know, you get a lot of scams, especially during the holidays, huh? Sometimes you answer it. My wife just like trips me out. She knows it's a scam. Hello. She goes, they've called me. I did not call them. And she brings them the gospel. And within 10 seconds, click. And I'm over there, oh, man, what are you doing? Just don't answer it. She goes, no, they called me. Like, oh, my gosh. Right? But when you read this letter, this is the kind of letter that Jude is sending. Just like a cell phone call you get that's uncomfortable. God's calling. And I'm going to tell you, when God calls and you hear that little voice or big voice or a dream or a vision, answer the call. Answer the call because God's speaking to you. And he has a purpose for that. And so Jude is like writing this and he's trying to answer the call of God. And he's like, oh, look in verse 2. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Notice grace wasn't mentioned. Grace is not mentioned. Even today, this gift is given by God. So I ask you, is the gift of grace lacking in your life and my life? Because it's not an automatic thing. Grace is gifts that Holy Spirit imparts in us, anointed by the Lord. And when we start thinking about that, despite our shortcomings, God's love allows us to approach people and situations and in different ways. All of us in this room influence somebody. And what kind of influence are you being and doing for the sake of Christ? You see, in my opinion, grace is a byproduct of love. Chew on that for a little bit. Grace is a byproduct of love. You love God, you love other people, grace will start springing up in your life. Because you're putting it out, you're getting it back, reaping and sowing, right? Simple law, true law. You know, how often do we share, in verse 2, I was challenged by this question doing this study, how often do we share the fruits God has given us? Or are we like the Jewish people who hoard God in the Old Testament? That's not what God's plan was. God wanted to redeem all the nations. You see, God is into multiplication. If someone didn't pray for you and for me, right? And if someone didn't bring the gospel to you and I and give us an opportunity to say yay or nay, we would have never been saved. But God, he planned it all out. He planned it all out. He is into multiplications. Let's look at verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about salvation, this common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. You see, again, like I said, this letter was written to discuss salvation at first, but Holy Spirit had a different plan. I get uncomfortable when he does that to me. Like I study, you know, and you type everything, you print everything, and you're up here and he goes, no, Fabe, I want you to go here. And you're like, are you kidding me? You know the time I spend in that? No. I want you to. And I'm like, oh, man, really? But that's how God rolls. He can change the message according to his purpose and his will. And when you hear James' heart, he goes, man, I had this plan, but God had a better plan. And he begins to address serious problems in a serious way. These warnings are still valid today. When you look at the word common in this verse, koinos, or where we get the word koinonia, like our cafe, right? It's really coming together, saved, the same, by all, by one God. And we all have that like-mindedness. You see, I don't know if you ever think about this, but all of us are part of a like-minded global ohana. We all are, right? That's why if you travel, if God blesses you to be someone who can travel, if you go to different states or different parts of the world and you meet like-minded believers, there's like a really good feeling. Like it's everything's all right, right? And that's Holy Spirit. That's because we're like-minded. We believe, we consider, we love, and we're in care of like-minded things. Thus, I believe you and I should desire and be concerned with each other. Because all of us here and on online and on the radio, we're ohana, we're family. We bleed the same. I don't care what your skin color is. We bleed the same. And we got one God. Amen. I was looking at this survey, and I'm sure it's way higher than this. But this survey was back in 1980. And it said 70% of people don't believe going to church is needed. I guess they missed that those verses that Paul says, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. We don't gather here to because now we feel holy. We gather here because, you know, some of you, your smile might help somebody. Your handshake might help somebody. Our worship team, they bless us, don't they? And they serve. You are called tonight for this moment to be a blessing. Why don't you and I stop being selfish and walk in here and go, I want to be blessed. Why don't we walk in here and say, I want to bless somebody tonight. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus tonight for someone. Does that make sense? And when you start doing that, you have that koinonia. You have that together. And we will struggle in our faith, fighting for the faith. We will, personally. Now, you don't have to shake your head or raise your hand, but I know all of us struggle in our mind every day. Amen? That's just part of living on earth. But are we willing to contend with that struggle and say stuff like, for me in my house, we choose to serve the Lord? Or if it's really demonic, you just say, get behind me, Satan. The blood of Jesus is upon me. And you cast them, right? These things are very crucial for us to grow and move on and struggle for our faith. When we seriously consider God's truths, and there's 1,347 of them. I didn't count it all. I read somebody who counted it. Think about that. 1,347 truths in this book. You wonder why we have a hard time getting into this book? There's too many truths. How many of those you think God will keep? And promises. Come on, how many? All of them. All of them. That's why it's so hard getting into this book. There's so much for us in it. Here's a kicker. And, you know, I don't want to, like, lose my position as a teacher and stuff, but I want you to consider this question. Why? And I wrote it for me, so I'll write it like I wrote it. Why do I expect others to give me God's truths instead of seeking it myself? You see, when you come to this place, this building, and you have a lot of good pastors, starting with our senior, right? If you think we're doing good, it's because the Holy Spirit and Pastor Bill pouring into us. That's what happened. He took this knucklehead and said, yo, you need some work. Okay, Pastor. And he did over 30 years of work in me, right, via the Holy Ghost. But when you start considering that, you start thinking, why don't I just like pour into this book myself? You see, when you come here, there should be dessert for you, not your main course. You should be chewing on God's word for you, because he speaks to you in your situation, in your language, in your simplicity, in your complex and things in your head. Whatever it is, God will speak through it all for you. This Bible study he gave to me. I'm blessed to share it with you. So when I look at that question, why does Fabian rely on, you know, movies or events or other pastors? Well, sometimes I'm lazy. I don't want to open the book. I got too much stuff happening. Sometimes at that moment, because of everything I've planned, these things become more important. You feel me? And I put God's word like in the middle somewhere. And the last thing that hurts me when I consider why Fabian doesn't do some things, there's always a cost. It starts with my time. And you know, us Americans, we're so busy. Eh? We try to fit God into our schedule. I don't know, man. I need more of him than less of me. And I see my life change when that happens. But it's an interesting question for you to think about. Why don't you struggle with researching what God has in his word for you? You know, verse 3 tells us it's very dangerous as he goes on and he says, you need to fight, contend for this faith, this true faith. It's very dangerous not to recognize a false teacher. Just because somebody gives you a card, has a title, or a really cool speaker, or whatever it is, right? You should be like a Berean and research it. See what they got to share is right on with God's word. It's very dangerous not to recognize it. Charles Spurgeon said this. I love it. I love Charles Spurgeon. He's one of my, I love reading his stuff. He said, one demon within the church can do more damage than 1,000 demons outside the church. Think about that. One demon we let to slither into our body will do more damage than 1,000 on the outside. That shakes me up. And you know, it's so common today, especially in the church, when I look at these places I'm blessed to share God's word at, a lot of Christians take advantage of God's grace. And they think that they sin, they can pray and get covered. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying it can affect your eternal destination. Because God sees your heart. I grew up a Catholic, right? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 50 years ago, whatever it was, right? And then they tell you, go, Hail Mary, for our fathers. And then I come out of that confession box, do my penance. Yes! Now I can be a demon again to Sunday or Saturday when I confess all over. I love this. No. That's not how God is. He wants to take broken people, rebuild us, use us for his glory so the others can see living, walking letters of Jesus. Amen? You know, do I share God's grace with others like you? It's funny because we all want grace, amen? But it lets somebody, especially those close with us, mess up, and how graceful are we? Boy, we got a lot of words, a lot of attitudes. Grace right out the window. And yet when we mess up, we, oh, grace upon grace upon grace. We should be living as graceful people. And like I said, grace is a byproduct of love, in my opinion. True love. 1 Corinthians 13 love. Do you make, man, I wrestle with this. This is one of my memory verses, right? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And man, God constantly reminds me of this. The heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? We all struggle with that, every human. That's the truth. And if we begin to deny God living or creating because of what we think should be this and should be that, or somebody speaks something like, you just gotta claim it. And if your faith is great, you will receive it. And they bring and twist verses and you all can be rich. Just give me $100 first. And you get a tenfold blessing, hundredfold. You know what? That's crazy. And I'm being really sarcastic with that. But there's some really smooth operators that grab people and take them. And so you and I need to be firm in our foundation of God's word. That's on you and me to be ready to contend with our faith. Most doctrines that are false will deny the deity of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament to the New. They'll take something out. Just, you know, you take one thing out of the deity of Jesus and you don't got the real Jesus. Just one thing you take out. So now Jude's going to give us examples. Verse 5 through 7 is like, you don't want to be like your walk having these kind of things in it. Man, we don't want this in our walk. We don't want it. So let's look at verse 5 through 7. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord... Oh, I skipped verse 4. For certain persons have come... We'll read 4 through 7. For certain persons have come, crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, denying our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Now our desire to remind you, though you know all things, once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Verse 6. Angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So we look at these false teachers and what is waiting for them. And I'll talk a little bit more of that as I close. And then Jude says, here's three examples about people not standing on the foundational rock of Jesus Christ and of God. First example, the Israel nation and their unbelief. They believe that they were Abraham's seed and they're all going to go to heaven because they're from Abraham's seed. We know that's not true, right? We know that's not true. They believe their judgment wasn't real. Oh, boy. And that's not a new truth. Many people believe that heaven and hell, especially hell, is not real. You get annihilated. Or you wait, and God takes you with everybody else. You know, the truth of the gospel is so important to our lives. But I'm going to tell you this. You may have studied the Bible for decades, but just knowing it up here isn't enough. You're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. You got to live it. You cannot just know it. You can't just quote scriptures and think that's good enough. Living is the key. If you look at John chapter 10, verse 27 through 28, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and then they follow me, right? That's the hard part, us obeying and following him. But there's no gray about that. And the thing I know, one of the promises God says this, if you're in Christ, that means you're in the hand of God and nobody, nothing can snatch us out of that. It's nothing about you and I trying hard. It's about his promise and who he is. And so the nation of Israel missed it. And these people witnessed God's miraculous power coming out of Egypt. They saw it being fed in the wilderness with manna and then quail. They saw God moving over and being given water through rocks. They saw it over and over again. But Psalm 95, 10 and 11 tells us that they're going to miss it. In fact, do you know this? I know you do. Even Moses didn't enter the promised land because of his anger. He saw it, but he died on the mountain before they went in. Even Moses didn't enter. It's crazy to think about. Here's the challenge. Will we choose to endure within God's promises? And if we do, then we'll be protected till the last breath we have. He'll protect us. I said this before to this church, and you probably heard it, so you hear it again. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a superhero until he calls us home. Nobody gonna take us one day earlier or one day later. He has all our days numbered. Amen? Cling to that truth. Cling to that truth. Go beyond your emotions and your reasoning, but cling to that truth. God is sovereign in your life. He has it all laid out. All laid out. I want you to remember this. Many people with good intentions start the race, but not many finish the race of walking with Jesus to the end. It's a difficult race. Verse 6, and Jude talks about angels that sin. So we had Israel and unbelief. Then we had angels that sin. Interesting truth, because God tells us, look, I have angels right now locked up in prison waiting judgment. You find that in Isaiah 14, 12, Revelation 12, 4, Genesis 6, 1 and 2. Wicked angels, powerful angels. If you think the earth is bad now, wait till we rapture and these powerful demons are let loose from the abyss and they're going to be roaming the last 3.5 years. Woo, yowza. We'd be gone though, so it's cool. We'd be gone. But I want you to notice that, like, even angels have motives and intentions, right? You know Lucifer's motives, pride, wanted to be like God, I. And it was like, I, you're no longer in heaven. And it's a challenging thing, because when you think about your motives and my intentions, and I start thinking, God sees it all. He's the God who sees. We need to have that check, that self-check every day. We know God flooded the earth to destroy this power of demonic sin, of self-lust. Anyone and everything can be God, right, in the days of Noah. They didn't even consider God. And then he goes in verse 7, he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 13, 10 tells us that these places are real. A lot of critics of the Bible for years said this is fictitious, until the diggings came and they proved there were real cities as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's been proven. And if you ever studied Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the things you find is that it was a very prosperous area. And these cities and the little towns around it were just booming. Booming, similar to the cities of the United States. And look where we are today. Yeah, look where we are. Do we still stand on In God We Trust? I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Ezekiel 16:49 tells us these cities were prosperous. They had great blessings. Just like our own, I know. In my opinion, and I traveled all over the place in our country, I still believe it's expensive, but we still live in the most beautiful state, in my opinion. And what are we doing with that? You know? When you're walking through a time of trouble, who do you lean on? These people are prosperous. Things are going good in your life. Everything's hunky-dory. And then, bam, something happens. Whatever that is. Who do you lean on? What do you lean on? Do we grab onto Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it tells us trust in the Lord with all our hearts, right? What do we should we lean on? Our own understanding? No. Who we should acknowledge? Him in all our ways. Then he will establish our paths, right? Do we do that in our times of trouble as we walk with Jesus? I'm so challenged by that. Here's a subtle one, because Christmas, New Year's, we see a lot of Ohana, most of us, right? Can't speak for all of you. And yet, this last couple meetings I had with family, I saw sin slithered into my Ohana. I see same sex together, living in a believer's home, and I'm like, whoa, interesting. I hear the verbiage coming out of mouths. I see the attitudes. Interesting. You know, what do we do with that? And I'm not saying don't love them, but I'm saying should we tolerate that? Or should we present the truth in a loving way and say, you know what, man, let me pray for you. You know, I hugged all my relatives that they say that they're believers, but, man, their lives don't show it. I hugged them all, I kissed them all, and I prayed over them. They probably won't invite me next year to come, but but yeah, don't invite me. You're gonna hear it, right? You're gonna hear it. So when you start accepting and we start compromising sin, especially with those close with us, our kids, rest of our Ohana, don't do it, man. That's not what God calls us to be. Because then we'll be living verse 8. Look what verse 8 says. Yet in the same manner, these men, these false teachers, also by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, revile angelic magistrates. Even if an angel will come and visit them, they'll reject them because it doesn't fit in their game plan. So part of walking with Christ in 2023, I hope for us, is that we don't reject authority, especially godly authority, even though it may challenge us. Father knows best. Amen? Father knows best. And that part of sinful character, we start by rejecting authority. Look at, you know, I'm a retired police officer, and I'm glad I'm retired. Because, man, the world today, number one, how I used to train officers, I'd probably be in prison because my techniques are, like, too antiquated. It's not politically correct, to put it nicely. Number two, there is no respect for authority anymore. It's very hard. It's very difficult when you start to contemplate that. And then when you look with church authority, how many times we reject that, right? And I start to understand that religion here today has become like a salad bar. I don't feel good with this salad, so I'm going to this one. I don't feel good with that salad, so I'm going to that one. And so we jump. And we reject the words of Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. What do you do with that in John 14:6? What do you do with that? It's nothing about religion. It's about a relationship with Him. You know, those today who proclaim to be prophets, I'm not going to say they are or not, or they have prophetic dreams, but if it's not in line with this, I don't receive it. I say, get back, man. Because you are not from Jesus. You're not. It's very dangerous. That's how cults are sprung up. These people that Jude began to speak about, they create cults and ungodly belief systems. Like, I don't know if you ever heard this. Jesus and Lucifer are like twin brothers. You ever heard that? Jesus and Lucifer is brothers. It's a cult that believes in that. It's crazy. How about Jesus is just one of many gods? He's just a god, right? These little things aren't little. They disturb the spirit and they tear down the work of God. Let's look at verse 9. But Michael, great example, all these bad examples, and then he goes, but Michael, this is how we want to be. Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So as Michael disputed, the Greek word is dikraino, or there was a contention. He didn't rail, or he didn't blaspheme, or speak evil, or injurious language, even against the devil. Michael didn't do it. He didn't do it. He was a positive example of God's character. Are you and I wanting and ready to be different in 2023? When people look at us, they go, whoa, something don't happen. What's up with that woman, that guy? It's interesting when you think about it. But Michael understood the fruit of the mouth. So he did not rail. He did not blaspheme. It reveals the condition of his heart. Our tongues will reveal the condition of our hearts. This little thing, right? It's like the smallest part of a big ship, the rudder, but it directs everything. This little piece of meat can take us right back to the fires of hell. It's amazing. It's amazing. And a lot of people are tricked to think like Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, very powerful. They were all archangels. Now Lucifer is the devil. But you got to remember this, and I got to remind myself of this. They were still created by God. They're just like made by the breath of God, the word of God. They were created by him. They're created. And when you get into 2023, I want to equip you some things. How do you stop your tongue from ruddering you away? Whoo! I think I got this from Pastor Bill years ago. It was in my Bible. I go, there's some four good things. Number one, relinquish your throne. What do you mean, Fig? Give up your rights. Somebody deserves to be yelled at. Swear word comes out. Whoo! You may have the right to scream at them, be angry at them. You may have that right. But choose to be different. Choose to be different like Michael and not rail an accusation. Give up that right. Number two, learn from your past. Do you continually react? Or are we growing in the ways of the Lord to where now we are changed people and instead of reacting, we respond. We think about it. If I say this, do this, these are the results. And not be what Jude said, unreasonable beasts. Whatever! It's a bad place to be for me. Very, very evil place for me to be. And I find myself, can't I remember the past? When I did it that way, what was the results? It's breaking down people, not building people up. Number three. Record and be accountable and responsible for your life. What do you mean, Fabe? My friend Victor Mark shared this with me years ago. He said, Fabe, the day I became a man is when I took responsibility for my actions. I stopped blaming my environment, my mom and dad, all my head trips. And I said, this is my body. This is my life. This is my mind. I'm going to be responsible for it. He said, that day I became a man. And I want to challenge all of us. Are we accountable? Are we accountable with this tongue? Are we understanding what the tongue did in the past, what it wants to do in the future? Because that's our responsibility. No blaming. That's your tongue. That's my tongue. And number four, how do we curb this tongue? Build up your speech with the love of God and the anointing of Holy Spirit, and stop tearing people down in 2023. Bless them. Bless them. Never forget the example. Michael, in the battle of the worst evil in front of the devil, he understood what 2 Chronicles 20:15 says. The battle belongs to the Lord, not our tongues, not our might, not our techniques. The battle belongs to the Lord. God calls us to battle evil in the name of Jesus. If you get anything, get this saying, please. There's a shorter saying that's on TV. I don't know, man. I'm like addicted to The Chosen. I really like The Chosen because it gives different perspectives. I don't look at it for my Bible teaching or anything, but it's a cool series. It's so cool. If you haven't watched it, you should check it out. This is on its third season, right? Third season. Yeah. I saw the first thing. Yeah, it was really good. This last episode was like, whoo, home run. But they got a shirt they just came up with, but I want to add a little bit more words to it. But this shirt says something like this. And I want you to remind yourself of this saying for 2023. You ready? We are not who we once were. We are not who we once were because of Him. We're different. And all glory to God. Amen. Remind that. Thank you. Remind yourself. 2023. You are not. I am not who we want. Even yesterday, we're different. We've lived through yesterday. Today is today. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like, look at verse 10. You want to be this? But these men revile things which they don't understand, and the things which they know by instinct, they're like unreasonable animals. By these things that are destroyed. I don't want to be, some of your translations might say, brute beasts. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be unreasoning, allegos, unreasonable, brute, absurd. I don't want to be like that. We get our spirits and our lives corrupted by these moments that consume us. Some of you may deal with anger. Some of you may deal with depression. Some of you may deal with isolation. Whatever your deal is, that is unreasonable in the eyes of the Lord. He wants to free us from these moments. He wants to give us that life more abundantly. That's His promise in John 10:10, right? An out-of-control tongue shows the lack we have of God's character and love. I've had people come up to me and they know I'm a believer. Some call me a pastor, whatever they want to call me. I don't really care. But they tell me, you're a different guy when you're surfing the North Shore and you're playing softball. I go, that has nothing to do with church. I'm enjoying myself. So I'm ki-eyeing. Wow! Wow! I come out of the way. Wow! Man, this old man just went through that. And they're like, whoa, this guy is kind of aggro. Sorry. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not disrespecting anybody. That's just who I am. I'm very type A. That's just who I am. I'm not disrespecting anybody. I'm just being me. Right? But when you look at this unreasonable brute, and I'm like always trying to check my tongue because I want God's character to flow out of me. And this was the first scripture given to me when I first got saved. Philippians 1, verse 6. And I would hope if we think about that, and it says this, you can be confident of this. You can be sure of this, that He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. He who has begun a good work in you, not you and I doing a good work. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You see, if you and I become religious, man, we're out of control, it's very dangerous. I love it when, oh, her, him, they're so awesome at church and outings of the church and at events and home fellowship. And then you talk with the people and who live with them, and they go, dang, you should see the real them. Slamming stuff, message in the bottle, because we're all stressed out. You know what I mean? I mean, we shouldn't be that way. You should be the same person here as you are at home. You meet me outside, this is what you get. Sorry. This is what you get. I ain't changing. I won't talk old King James to you. He's just going to get a local boy, me. Just sharing that moment with you, however that looks like, right? That's how we should be, that consistent, because then we know God's in us. I want you to notice that according to verse 10, we can't be clever with forceful words and attitudes. It reveals our ignorance of God's character. It shows all of us and who we are, but we don't know God. I'm not going to speak for you, but I know this for my life. And I'm going to give the best rendition I go. Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Whenever I did that in my life, it led to destruction. It was always bad. At the end result, it was always bad. I don't want to do things my way. I want to do things through this roadmap. Because he speaks hard truth, Fabe. This is who you are. Okay, I agree with that. You got to do it because I can't do it. And when I have that relationship, things just begin to unfold. And it's got nothing to do with me, but everything to do about God. Verse 11, as we wind down. Woe to them. All these things he's describing. For they have gone the way of Cain. And for pay, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. The way of Cain, Genesis chapter 4. A lot of people don't know why God rejected Cain's offering. It wasn't because it was just vegetables. It was his unbelief and the intentions of his heart. He didn't have the relationship. Read Hebrews 11:4. And anger of Cain, he murdered. Then he lied about it. Am I my brother's keeper? He killed his brother. 1 John 3:12 teaches us Cain killed his brother due to Abel's righteousness. He looked at Abel and Abel's heart, and he was angered because he didn't have it. Don't ever envy someone else's walk. You focus on Jesus, and he will guide your walk. He will make your path straight. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, false truth destroy lives and souls. Empty religion is the enemy of Jesus' body. I pray you guys desire intimacy with Jesus this upcoming year. Be intimate with him. Be intimate with him. Balaam, great prophet. He was a good prophet. But he lusted after money, prestige and wealth. 24,000 people were killed because of that in the Jewish family. Just for money. He had a greedy heart. Rebellious against the Lord, even though the Lord gave him all he had. You know, God has poured out everything into your hearts tonight. When Jesus bled out for you and I, he gave us everything. What do we give in return? What present are you going to give in this coming year? Right? Why do I get greedy, Lord? Well, I need this. Really? You really need it? Right, you know, I need 8 surfboards. Every different beach has a different wave. I need 7 softball bats because I break bats. Really? Yeah, I think I need it. So that greed, am I self-centered? Do I have wrong desires? You do your own self-check. And then you look at Korah, number 16. God's authority was resented. Korah hated that God was using Moses. And Moses knew what was going to happen. And he was trying to prevent that. And Korah didn't listen. Earth swallowed Korah up. and all the family. Purge the sin. Moses is on his face praying, no, Lord, no. Korah wasn't content with God's calling. Are you content with your life? Where is it at? What God's doing with you in the body? Are you content with that? Or are you envious of other people? And notice that rebellion occurs in different people. Cain was a farmer. Balaam was a prophet. Korah was a leader. You know? You look at the world today, religious leaders, preachers, less fortunate, we all struggle. Rebellion creates danger within the body. It's the tools of the devil. To rebel is not of God. I would hope that you guys desire to go beyond just words and you apply the words to your life. I desire for you to get into the ministry. What do you mean? Come on staff? No? Volunteer? Well, maybe. But just get into the ministry of what God has you to do. Talk to somebody at the bus stop. I don't care. In the gym, at the beach, at work, at school. That's ministry. Do it. They don't hear it otherwise. It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's close with this last couple verses. These men are those who are hidden reeves in your love feasts or potlucks. When they feast without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Hidden, spilos, uncertain, confusing, damaged morally. You ever think about this, not only at church potlucks, but at family gathering? I remember when I was going to college in the mainland, and we have this big, you know, get together for the team, whatever I was playing, what sport. And I would bring like meat or whatever, right? And a lot of people brought chips and dips. And then they grind everybody's stuff. And I'm like, well, cuz, that's how you potluck up here. Chips and dips. You know, and I think about that. Do we do that in a spiritual sense? What do we bring to Calvary Chapel, Honolulu? Or do we only want to take, take, take? What do you give to the body of Christ? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your time, your abilities, your availability. Or are we like these hidden reefs, thinking in selfish manners just for self-gratification? I'm going to flip what John Kennedy said in the 60s. What can church do for me, but what can I do for Jesus? Thank you. Right? Stop thinking, what can church do for you? But what can you do for Jesus? That'll flip things completely around. Don't be a cloud that blocks out the S-O-N, okay? Don't be a cloud. Be open so the S-O-N can be seen and people can have a choice. Otherwise, there's darkness that awaits. There's no repentance. I want to close with this poem. She was if you don't know her, you probably heard her name, Mother Teresa. She was a Catholic nun who served in the country of India, Calcutta area. And it's one of the poems they found in her house after she passed. And it really inspired me when I was reading it, so I want to share it with you as I close with this poem. And I want to really encourage you to be rebuilt in 2023. Be restored. Be renewed. Listen to the words of this lady who gave her life for the down and out people of India. Gave her life for them. She said this: life is an opportunity, opportunity. Benefit from it. Life is beauty. Admire it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is a challenge. Meet it. Life is duty. Complete it. Life is a game. Play it. Life is a promise. Fulfill it. Life is sorrow. Overcome it. Life is a song. Sing it. Oh, I love that. Life is a struggle. Accept it. Life is a tragedy. Confront it. Life is an adventure. Dare it. Life is bliss. Taste it. Life is costly. Care for it. Life is wealth. And my prayer for you in 2023 is you keep it. You keep your life secured in the hands of Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this moment in time we have. And Lord, we understand we're not promised tomorrow. But God, in you all things are possible. And so we ask humbly, God, that you may do the renovation in our hearts and minds for 2023. We pray, God, that as you open yourself to us, that we'd be open to you. I pray for every person here and their ohana, their familia, their families, that you may restore that love that maybe it's been swayed during the holidays for whatever reason. I pray you bring them back. And for those of us like myself who has lost loved ones recently, I pray you fill the void of that hurt and that sorrow like only you can. I pray, Lord, that in 2023, we may give good pleasure to you. And as I challenged the people tonight, Lord Jesus, I challenge myself. What gift can I bring to you for your birthday? God, we need more of you and less of us. So help us. Help us to be all that we can be for the sake of Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say,